Evening, guys. Just give it a couple of minutes to catch up as always.
No problem.
There we go. We are live. We are live, live, live. Get that shared to a few pages. Here we go. And then what I'll do is if I tag you, there we go, we are shared. Good evening, guys, and welcome to Live and on Drugs Series 3. This evening, we are with Irene Vaxberg from all the way in LA, I believe. I do apologize, there may be a slight delay because of the internet and because of how it is. And she's in LA and I'm in rural Norfolk, but we shall try to go on the best we can. Irene, thank you so much for coming on. It's great to have you.
Oh my God, it's my pleasure, Jack. Thank you so much for having me. And I love this. I'm all the way in LA and you're all the way in UK and we can have this beautiful moment together. Honored.
It's great to have you. Let's go back to the start of your journey and go from there.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So my journey became in 1979. I was 12 years old. My mom and my dad decided they were going to leave former Soviet Union for better life for us. And the journey began. We left and 1979 came to United States of America. As my father said, the land of opportunity. If you work hard, have dreams and not lazy bum, as he would say, don't be a lazy bum, sit on a couch and eat bum bums. It's very funny with his broken English. He said, go out there and make things happen. Opportunities is here, will it be easy? Absolutely not. But is possible? Yes. And so he kind of installed in us that, don't be afraid of hard work. No one owes you anything. You owe yourself to live a beautiful life. So that's kind of, and then we were like 13 years old, like, my father giving this advice. And, we kind of took it his word. We saw my mom and him struggle and coming from a different country, not knowing the language, had to basically start from scratch, $500 for a suitcase. And here we are. So my entrepreneuring journey began at 14 years old, 13 when I started babysitting. And then I have my own little business of a paper girl. And it was amazing because a lot of girls didn't do it. And my sister and I were the only ones out of 30 boys. And I actually won a paper girl of the year. And I got a picture to take with the mayor and the governor. It was so cool. to be there. That was very exciting. It's like, here it is, my first American dream. You can if you want to. And so I got addicted to being my own boss at very young age. And I knew that I was going to be a hairdresser at 11. And God blessed me that I've been doing it for 38 years. And that's why I came to United States. That's why we came to United States to have a life that we want. But I came to Los Angeles to work for one of the famous hairdressers, Josiah Bear. He was my idol at the time. And, very fancy celebrity hairdresser. And I got my job. I went for the interview and I did it. And then I didn't. It wasn't for me. It was too much glitz, too much glamour, and no heart. And I knew that I wanted to be in a place where I can change lives, with the gift that God gave me is making people feel beautiful from outside in, and then it comes out from inside out, you know? And I knew that I won't be able to do that there. So the journey continues, and I did find a place eventually where I became my home for over 25 years in Beverly Hills. And I did my nonprofit, you know, cut my hair for canned foods, for books, for blankets, for homeless people. So it was beautiful. You know, I feel like we have to give back, and I'm all about community. It was beautiful. And I built the success of a business. I got married. I got divorced. I got married. I got divorced. I had two beautiful daughters. Now I have four beautiful grandchildren. So, you know, life is great. And pretty much did a lot of the things on my bucket list. And I feel very honored to be able to say that I had my own salon. I saw my father's name in lights before he passed away. I did a lot of the things that my mom and him sacrificed for themselves by leaving their whole entire family in former Soviet Union for us. So, you know, it was great. It was a beautiful journey for ups and downs. And in between, at 20, age 23, I was in a terrible car accident. It was like a out-of-body experience. I went through the tunnel. I died, came back. I saw God. And that could be a whole other podcast. I'm just giving you a little broad story about my life, because it's leading to another car accident that both of them kind of was a beginning, the middle, not the end, but a new chapter that opened. And my first car accident, I didn't want to come back. It was a hard time for me. I was planning a divorce at very young age, 21, got married, had a baby 9 months later, divorced by 23. And, you know, first in the family, wasn't looked upon really well, not marrying somebody from your own culture, religion, and then divorce. So it was a tough moment. I had to really figure out who I am and find my voice. And I felt like the old Doreen died and then he was reborn. And it gave me strength to go and walk to my own beat of the drum. Is that how you say it? So troubled childhood with my young oldest, and had to go through some difficult moments with her. And I'll bring you to age 43, where I was already having a great time. I've accomplished tremendous things. You know, by then I already had my salon, sold it, rebuilt it, lost it, divorced again, had another child. And became a single mother again. And, you know, ironed the wrinkles in my life. I was ready to take my life by the horn and run with it. I wanted to fall in love. You know, I was looking, my joke was for my next third ex-husband. I'm still looking for them. Hey, you might have a match for me here. Single and available. And I was on the way home to change, and I was in another car accident. And it was 20 years apart from the first one. And the moment that I got into that second car accident, I knew there was a bigger picture than just the car accident. I didn't practice what I preached. I feel like when you're manifesting things, when you visualize things, when you write your goals and dreams on paper, and if it's just written and there's no actions and you're just complaining and talking about it but not doing it, sometimes the universe goes, you know, I'm tired of your BS. Like, you know, if you're not going to do, put some actions, and you're sitting here and just complaining about it, I'm going to stop you, and I'm going to change everything, and I'm going to make that situation so painful and disrupt your way of life that you have no choice but make changes. So if you're struggling and you're just complaining, let's go, like, enough with that, because it's going to be worse than the situation is. It's just been proven in my own personal life that the moment I procrastinate and not take full action, the situation becomes worse than better. So this car accident, 20 years apart, did exactly that. It shook me to the ground. My American dream, I shared this so much, it still brings tears to my eyes, was basically gone. I built a business of six figures that went from that to 30,000. I was left with chronic pain, anxiety, depression. The medical field kind of neglected me. Neurologically, I became disconnected. The brain that deals with pain was on overdrive and created this spasms and shaking movements that I didn't know when it would begin and when it would stop. I would needed morphine drips a couple of times a week. I had 9 epidurals. I had 4 hip injections. I lived on antidepressants and was left with just bills, chronic pain, doctors that cared, but not really. Like if it was so out of the box that they did not know what to do with me. And either they said it was all in my head or just prescribed me some drugs because they had no idea what to do with me. And then they gave up on me. They said, I'm sorry, we cannot help you anymore. So here's a prescription for more drugs. I was already feeling suicidal. Had voices in my head. There were so many different ones that, you know, one doctor didn't know what the other was given. And Vicodin and Norco's, you know, it's pretty intense meds and muscle relaxers, right? And still was in pain. My body still was shaking, still was spasming. I might have 2 months between epidurals. I could not see myself rebuilding the hairdressing business. And, you know, when your hands shake and your body shakes like you're having a seizure, it's not a good look for a hairdresser. So it was pretty tough. You know, you pray, and you feel like no one is answering, right? Like you're sitting here in this horrible moment that you don't have control of your thoughts or your body. You know, money just dwindling off, business is running, then COVID hits, you know, it's like there's just so much. And 5 years ago, my daughter was taking care of me, and I literally felt even worse because 11 years old or 12 years old child should not be taking care of your mom. And I just could not see myself being a nuisance to her, right? I missed out on so much. I really couldn't go out. I lost pretty much most of my friends. I didn't go see my parents. My father was pretty sick because I didn't want to stress them even more. I only visit them when I had an epidural or I had a morphine drip that I knew that I was safe for a period of time. And I hid a lot of it from my parents because my father already had a heart condition. And if I did go and I would start shaking, you could see the worry on them. So, you know, chronic pain, it does not just affect in one individual, the ripple effect is massive. So it affects every part of your being. So I, you know, could not see myself living like that for the rest of my life. I love to travel. I love happy hours. I salsa dance. I hike. I did Zumba. You know, I'm full of life and I love life. And that, you know, life meant to live in joy, not in struggle. So I just couldn't see. And when doctor said, we can't help you anymore, and you most likely will be in a wheelchair, I was like, F you, Barbie, for my express. Like, I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, I'm praying, I'm hoping, I'm trying to stay as positive as I can. And believe me, I've been in very difficult situations, and that may be for another time. But I did not lose everything, right? Like if I lost my mindset, I had the financial means to find that therapist, find that support group. I could pay to someone to have a conversation, but here everything was gone. Like I had 2 pennies to myself, $600-$700 a month on medical bills and gadgets that did not work. Alone, could not share with anyone. Nobody really cared by the end. You know, people told me, I can't be around you this way. You are my support. I don't know how to be your support. Or people say, oh, we didn't check on you because we know you're so strong. You can get out of anything. And that hurt, you know, like that hurt my feelings a little bit. But I also had to take responsibility for always putting a front that I'm okay. Right. So if you are listening and you have friends that always said they're okay and you feel like they're really strong and they really can handle it and they're your support system all the time, check on them. Because I was dying inside while I was laughing and smiling. It was really hard. So I prayed to die 5 years ago. I sat there on my couch and I said, I'm over it. I can't do it. How am I gonna end my life? And this little voice in me said, one more prayer. I'm like, I've prayed for 5 years. I don't have it in me, you know? And I'm like, this little voice goes, no, 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 one more prayer. So I said, I'm like, okay, how am I gonna do? Literally was having a conversation with my dog and me were sitting here going, how am I going to get that? You know, people like, well, but you have beautiful children. You have beautiful grandchildren. How do you even go there? Like, and you know, I don't know. Depression is a difficult place to be. And I actually felt bad that I judged some people because when you've never experienced that, and I'm pretty strong-minded, the glass is always overflowing. And I didn't understand it until you really understand by being there. It didn't matter that I had a great strong mind and I could meditate myself out of things. I can breathe myself out of it. I can talk myself out of it. But this time that is just, you can't, like I couldn't, I didn't see it. I was just could not breathe anymore with this. Because this was no life. I was a prisoner of my home and my own body. And I said, okay, okay, one more prayer. I'll do it one more time. So I said, God, it's up to you now. I can't live like this. And I've prayed for a miracle for 5 years. And you haven't answered. So I didn't know how more specific I can be. And I don't know why this prayer was so special. And I said, okay, I'm going to give it all my all to you. And I said, what I need is a miracle because doctor said there's none. And I need this a miracle to be, it's like a wish list, drug-free, non-invasive, no chemicals, no side effect, affordable because I was about $15,000, $16,000 in debt. I couldn't afford anything else. It has to be affordable. And I said, if it's a business, because hair business, the way I was going, it was basically gone, right? That it has heart, soul, mission, purpose, and passion. And it has to be about people first and the bottom line later. And I said, it's up to you. You make that decision. But if you're going to keep me in this broken body, I made peace to go. I'm done. A couple of months later, a friend of mine, they walked into my life a year of my car accident. And I was really rude and kind of, I didn't want friends, like I didn't want to explain my life. I didn't want anything from anyone. And she was just angel in disguise. She was very patient. She just shared some information with me, left me her card, and I told her I'm not buying, I don't want anything. I'm not buying, selling, leave me alone. And we developed this amazing friendship. She was diagnosed with MS. And she said, Irene, before I die, I am going to find something to help you live your better quality of life. And it touched me so hard. She wasn't even caring about herself. She was worried about me while she is struggling. And so she was I laughed that 15,000 in debt, 10,000 was of her stuff that she would send me. Irene, I found something else. Irene, I found something else. You know, she's Googling, right? And I'm in Uber's cars and going all over Los Angeles, getting all these injections and treatments, and nothing is working. I'm like, done. And if somebody's listening and they live in chronic pain, they understand there's a point in time that comes, we make peace with the pain because we know how to handle, we know our drugs dosage, we know how we can make ourselves somewhat better, right? Like we get praying for that epidural, and we know that we have 6 weeks of beautiful life, and we do everything we can, and we go on. And to try something new is scary. And the scary part is that hope it's going to work, but 99% of the time it doesn't. So the disappointment is worse than actual pain that we live in. So she said, Irene, I found something else. I said, I don't want to hear about it. Don't want to hear it. I'm done. Doctor said nothing. I'm getting my epidural. My case is over. My daughter and I are going to Europe. We're going to Amsterdam and Paris. We're celebrating her 16th birthday, 17th birthday, 18th birthday. There was nothing. I couldn't do anything. And I need to make sure that I'm okay. It's an 18-hour flight. And then, you know, tourism, right? You walk everywhere, and I need to be okay. And, you know, amazing friends don't listen. And if you don't mind, I will show you. She sent me a pair of socks. Do you see the little orange patch?
Yep.
This is the magic, the miracle I prayed for. Drug-free, non-invasive, no chemicals, no side effect, affordable, a mission, purpose, passion company that cares about the people, not the bottom line. 7 seconds connection. The moment this technology touched my food, it triggered a response in my brain stem and puts it in a homeostasis, neurological balance. And when that happened, I remember one of the doctors that I went, it cost me $1,000. He specialized in pain management for cancer patients. And when he saw me, he said, Irene, your brain is on fire. I took medicine for 1 year for cancer patients, $250 a pop. It did very little. But what he explained to me, that your brain needs to be in that balance neurologically, then everything will relax and you won't shake, because the brain cannot handle the pain and it has to release it. But the way it would release it is shaking, spasm. My body would freeze. I would like stand like this for a minute or two, couldn't move. I felt like cement. My video is on YouTube, so anybody wants to see how I lived, I hope you don't mind me sharing that, because you have to see the visual aspect to understand my pain and the struggle and how I gave up. So I sat there with my doggy that's on my lap, Emma, and I took the socks off and then I put them back on. And when I had them on, I was like, I was jumping, I was moving, I was celebrating. I took it off and I'm like, everything instantly, my body went into this spasm. So to make a long story short, I got 2 pairs of socks. I went to Europe, no epidural, no pain relief, Advil, barely used it. Life changed, but I still lived in doubt, because every time I took the sock off, I would still shake. I literally lived in that one pair of socks for 7-8 days until I got another pair. Now I got 30 of them. And I was like, oh my God, I called her and I'm crying. And every time I call her and I'm crying, that means I'm in pain. One time I was on the floor, but she was in Seattle, so she could not help me. She's like, give me your address, I'll call 911. And we'll pick you up. The floor. I said, no, no, you don't understand. God came down and kissed my feet. I'm good. I don't know what in this song, but I need dozens of them. Where do I buy them? Where do I get them? She's like, I have no idea. I have this little link. Go for it. And life changed. I went to Europe and then I came back, and then there's a struggle. Like, I need to share this, right? Like, I promise God, if you save me, I need to now help others. But that little voice is like the pain community is broke. the pain community lives in the budget. The chronic pain community doesn't believe anything anymore. We've tried so many things. How am I gonna do this? I have something. And it was really hard. I fought, because I don't like selling. I don't like being in front of anything, not very good. I can promote everyone else, but I had to sit there and say, how am I gonna do this? And my sister said, are you crazy? You suffered for 5 years. You've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and there's no company ever gave you money back. There's no company ever did it. There's no doctor that lowered your dosage and tried to find something, right? Nobody has to buy anything from you, but you will be doing a disservice to the community that you're trying to help with knowledge and information. Everybody can make their own decisions, right? And she's like, and another friend of mine said, do you remember how much you prayed for a miracle? Did you remember how much you wanted something? You have something that needs to be shared. And everybody is adult and they can do their research and make their own decision. So I slowly, surely start sharing my miracle, my testimony, how I prayed and how I gave up and God answered. And it became my mission. It became my purpose. It's what God gets me out of my bed. And what I thought buried me, planted me for this moment with you. And every single moment that I get to share my story and inspire others, it's not just about this song, it's bigger than that. Because I shared my story of how I lost everything and I was looking, seeing my glass still overflowing, and how I found the basic little blessings in every day, even though my body wasn't functioning. I had 2 pennies to my name. My American dream was gone. I will never be able to rebuild my salon, the hairdresser for 38 years. I had to mourn the old version. And about 2 years ago, I sat in my chair while I was talking to my dear friend, because she knew about my first car accident. Is God told me, Irene, you need to go back, you need to learn, you need to teach, and you need to guide people to their higher power, into their healing. And I was like, what am I going to teach? I was 23 years old. I know what I needed to learn. And, you know, God said, you're going to inspire people to do better and bigger. And I realized at that moment, my second car accident, where the message is coming through. That's where the message was supposed to come through. That was the pain needs to be. Yes, I was in pain in my first car accident, but I still had my mindset, right? Yes, I was hurt worse maybe than now in a different way, but it wasn't as bad. It wasn't as deep. Here, I literally had to dig deep to do that last prayer. And so giving up is not an option. Even if you're giving up, I need you to say that last 1,000th prayers. I don't care. I did millions of them. You know, I gave up. I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And here I go again. So, you know, we really don't ever really maybe give up, right? We might surrender to something, right? And find peace in it. And, you know, the last steps, people always say, take that last step. Oh, my God. I took a million last steps, even when I couldn't move. So, you were not buried, you're planted for something bigger and better. And unfortunately, we only realize our mission, our purpose, our passion, our strength, our faith is when we go through something very difficult, right? We become the cheerleader only when we lose something, right? Or some sort of a tragedy. We don't care about issues until they affect us. And you know, I don't know what you're going through, but I just want to let you know that hold on, lean into that pain, but don't let it own it, right? Don't let it own it. Let you own it. You own it. You honor it. You forgive it. And on the other side is a beautiful life, and you get to you get to inspire millions around the world. And thank you for letting me be here and sharing my story and creating safe space, because it gets very emotional for me. Even though I've been doing this for so long, it's still an emotional journey because it's a consistently evolved. I learned every time about myself, every time I share. And there's another thing that like, oh my God, that just feels much lighter in my heart.
Thank you so much for being so open and honest. And Ra, you don't ever need to apologize for getting emotional. We all get like that. The amount of days that I've done that, I've been sat there crying. You know, it's amazing. Tell me about, you said about these socks. What's the idea behind them, and what's the technology behind them?
So it is so the best way I can describe, well, the idea behind it is drug-free, non-invasive, no chemicals, no side effects, affordable for our regular folks. The CEO said that his mission is to help regular people that cannot afford that five-star doctor, right? So his mother got sick with MS when he was 14 years old, and he went on a journey to help her. And I met him and had honor to be on stage with him, and will be on stage with him again. And I say to him, Jay, you just didn't make this for your mom. You also made it for me. And, you know, and so he wanted something drug-free because he saw his mom drugged up on drugs. Listen, this case for all of it, it's together. It's not one or the other, right? But there's so many options that we don't may need drugs or so many. I'm talking about pain management, right? I'm talking about pain management. And so this is a QRQ code. Most people understand that.
Yep.
But he's a tech guy. The science behind it is 45 years old. Touch technology, it's, you know, it's all, you know, triggers a response. You know, the way I can explain how this kind of works, you know, when we were little kids and we would close our eyes and somebody would give us a pen or a spoon, and we know exactly what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's, remember, so this is triggers similar response in the brain to activate, to recognize that specific code. It's like a phone number, right? That the moment it touches the skin, it connects like a little puzzle. It opens up the brain and puts it in homeostasis, like neurofeedback or biofeedback or neurostimulation, if anybody familiar. It's based on also on acupuncture and reflexology. Again, everything is touch, right? The fingers touches the skin or the needle touches the skin, it triggers a response. So that's what it does. So 7 seconds connection, it puts the brain in neurological balance, and it has changed my life. What it does, it helps your body optimizes itself, and our natural body can actually heal our own self. Wearing this technology for 18 months, and the way they tested, it's a machine called QEEEG. It's a 3D brain mapping technology that approved by NASA and FDA and using like military stuff. They scan your brain. And my brain mapping is also on YouTube. So Irene Weisberg, if you want to see it. And it shows the process. 7 seconds connection. Your brain goes from flight and fight into homeostasis. The least amount, 13%, and the most amount is 50%. Every single human being benefits from it. You do not have to be in pain. So this technology began with athletes, and they're in their peak performance, right? But their stability was out of whack. Their mobility was still was out of whack. They may look, you know, buff and six pack, sexy and whatever, but neurologically, they were not only out, you know, physically, right? If you look at someone, you think they're healthy, but you know, we have this demo that we do. And let me tell you, I can push over a 300-pound person, man or woman person. And so it's pretty powerful. Yes, it's pretty, pretty powerful stuff. And so no side effects. 3 months ago, I had these patches on newborn triplets. One of them was a little smaller, and oh my God, like incredible, incredible stuff. So yeah, it's kind of, I know it's kind of hard to fathom. You almost have to experience it yourself, but yeah, just touch technology, like, you know, dialing a phone number. If you want a little bit more visual situation, so you know when you travel and you go into the bathroom and you put your hand under the water, you're not touching anything, right? It's a sensory, right? and the water just pours down, exactly the same thing. So the you know, the body is sensory, and the sock is the water, or other way around, right? So it triggers a response. When you put your hand in and can put the hand out, it stops. So yeah.
Wow. I might have to give that a go. Both my wife and I, we live with chronic pain. You know, I have MS myself, and other things going on in my life and with my muscles and stuff. So, you know, that might be beneficial. It's something to take a look into.
Absolutely. I'm happy to share more with you and send you more information. Yes. So again, nothing to do with the issues. We have 56,000 amazing life-changing testimonies on Facebook. And I mean, many more, over 7 million people wearing our technology worldwide. Yeah.
Wow.
So that is my mission now, is sharing this. I mean, that's part of it. The most important mission is telling people not to give up and continue praying for their own beautiful, incredible miracle. This is just the icing on the cake, but the message is keep believing, keep holding on. Giving up is not an option wherever you are. That's where you're meant to be right now. And unfortunately, some of us are struggling, but that's where you need to be, in that struggle to find yourself and to find that strength and to find that message that you're meant to share with the world. And, you know, this part is just, again, it's what brings me to your platform, right? But it's not the full, complete reason I do this. Is the most important, when I began 12 years ago, for my community, is to hold their hand and saying, yes, I understand, I've been there.
And what a message it is. I wanted to ask you, what it was like growing up in the former Soviet Union.
Well, it was, I mean, I was, you know, I was 11. It wasn't easy. We're Jewish. So life for the Jewish people, that's why we left, because we were prosecuted, was not the best place to be. So that's part of the reason we left. But also, you know, the struggle, you know, at the time, you know, 1979, you know, I remember staying in line for milk. And by the time I would get there, it was gone. Or bread, you know, my father was kind of like a delivery person. It's bigger than this, like management of delivery. So he knew a lot of different things. So he could get things more than the regular human being, because he had the connections, right? And sometimes things just fall off the truck. And so, you know, we were not bad, but we were not great. And, you know, when we decided to leave, you know, everybody right away almost knew that we were Jewish, because all the little girls' ears were pierced. And the only reason we would pierce people's, you know, the girls' ears, is taking the jewelry out. If you had something on you, they would not take it away when you're leaving the country. Sometimes they took it away anyway. So the teasing came, the bullying came. So, you know, I mean, parts were pleasant if somebody didn't know I was Jewish, but when they knew I was Jewish, it was very hard. You know, and the interesting part, when we came to America, nobody cared we were Jewish, but they cared that we were Russian. So it was a different discrimination.
I get that. I grew up in the 80s, and you know, I would see the American films and, you know, things like Red Dawn and the talking about the Cold War and stuff like that. There was a big fear with the American people against Russia. So I it couldn't have been that easy.
Yeah. And then in 1980 or something, 81, the plane. Connection. Yeah, the plane was shut down and people blame me. I'm like, I'm sitting with you in the class. I didn't do anything. And, you know, and then we became very popular. So, you know, it was just extreme to extreme. And, you know, yeah. So, you know, it's like, I felt like it was a fad. Yeah. But, you know, this is my home. I love it. God bless America. You know, with all the, you know, all the problems we have, it's still better than Russia, especially now. Oh my God, who wants to be there? Even as, like, now I really underline former Soviet Union, because I don't want to have nothing to do with that country. Like, it's, you know, but, you know, I'm not trying to get political here. We're spreading hope and peace and happiness here and unity.
We do keep freezing. I don't know whether it's freezing online or not. There we go. That's a little better. That's brilliant.
Frozen. Are you there?
It's not the greatest of connections. I do apologize, guys. I am here.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was like,
it's not the greatest of connections. We've lost your picture, but I just wanted to say thank you, really, for coming on and
thank you.
Being so open and honest. And comfortable enough to, let your emotions out we're blessed that you've been able to share them, with us and share your story. If you send me, any links, I'll attach them to this video, and people can, get you that way. Is there anything that you'd like to say we go?
Sure. First, thank you so much, Jack. I appreciate such incredible safe space for me to share my story. And, you know, the biggest message is that, you know, giving up is not an option. Everything that you need is within yourself. Keep going after your dreams. Make sure you celebrate yourself, honor yourself, and you're not buried. The difficult moment is the seed that's going to bloom. From that, you're going to live an incredible life and you're going to change many lives. So yeah, giving up is not an option. Keep going. You got this. And if you don't, find me and I will give you a pep talk. Community is what all I'm about. Together we are stronger. So let's go. Let's continue building communities together across, you know, cultures, religions, you know, seas, oceans, mountains, no walls, no borders. We're, you know, it's all about, for me, it's all about unity. And again, I'm truly here for you. If you need your shoulder to cry or a hand to hold, especially everyone, but especially if you're going through chronic pain and you feel like no one hears you and understands you, I understand you. I may not be in it, but that never goes away. It's an, you know, it's part of my DNA now. And thank you. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for tuning in as always. And I shall hopefully see you again next week. Bye, guys.